10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Great day to talk about road trips. What is there better to do on a cold winter's morning than dream of the open road? Kind of fitting, a little music there from Joe and Woody and the boys of the Road Crew, roadcrew66.com, inspire a road trip. Today, hey, we're going to talk about, America's most famous highway, legendary Route 66. With Angie from the Route 66 Information Center. Miss Angie, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I am doing great. It is actually sunny here today.
Well, that's kind of unusual for your neck of the woods.
It sure is, especially this time of year.
Yes. It is a 41 delightful degrees out here in Kingman. A little bit of off and on mixed snow, sleet, rain. But we'll take it. We've been so darn dry, we're going to be hunting jerky instead of deer, and the cactus are starting to die, so we need some rain. Hey, gosh darn it, you know, Route 66, isn't this an amazing highway? It defies logical description what this highway's become. And you're right in the thick of it with your Route 66 information station.
It is interesting, and there is so much activity right now on the road. And I think a lot of it has to do with the upcoming centennial. Because you notice that there's a lot of businesses for sale right now. Yeah. There are new businesses opening up. And I just see all this flurry of activity. And I think the centennial is sparking this.
Centennial has the potential to really be extraordinary. I think Route 66 today is more popular than any time in its history.
I tend to agree with you, only if because I didn't actually, because I'm not from a state that Route 66 it goes through or it is nearby. I didn't even know about Route 66, honestly, until the Cars movie.
Really? That was your catalyst, the Cars movie?
Well, the Cars movie and the fact that in 2010, I don't think you've heard this story, Jim. In 2010, I was planning to go to Europe for my first time. I have family and friends all over Europe. And I was sitting at my computer, and I must have just watched the Cars movie. And I'm sitting at my computer and I'm like, you know what? I have no business going to other countries when I haven't seen my own country yet. And so I thought about the Cars movie and I wondered, is 66 still there? And I started doing some searching and I found out, yes, it's still there. In fact, it has a thriving tourist activity on the road. And so I walked into the room that my husband was in, and I looked at him, and I said, we're going to drive Route 66 next fall. And he had one simple word, okay.
Yeah.
So that's what started it all.
You know, the Cars movie really sparked it for a new generation interest, and especially in the Asian market. I have talked to so many people from China, Korea, Thailand, Vietnam. The Cars movie, it really got them interested in coming to America and finding this road.
You know, it's the Cars movie did. In fact, on that first trip, I was lucky enough to get an audience with Angel Delgadillo.
This inspirational man right there.
And how I got that audience was a whole funny story in itself. But I, when I was talking to him, we had this stuffed bear with us. And it was Bear from the Big Blue House. And I explained to him that my nephew, who was, I think he was 4 or 5 at the time, found out that we were going on Route 66. And he was so upset he couldn't go with us because he knew the Cars movie. And so I said, I'll take your best friend with me. And I took pictures with that bear all over Route 66. And I uploaded it to a website so he could follow us on the trip. And I was telling Angel about this. And Angel was like, you know what? He goes, I love that Cars movie. He said, that movie has ensured that Route 66 is going to be around for generations to come because the young people are interested in Route 66 now.
Yeah. You know, Angel is, if you don't think one person with passion and vision, and the ability to build partnerships can make a difference. All you got to do is look to Angel, that small town barber in Seligman, Arizona. Pretty amazing fella. Angie, what is your background? I mean, is it journalism or? Yeah, I mean, because your information station is so fascinating, well written, and well done. I was just kind of curious.
Jim, I am a teacher. I have been an educator most of my life. My degree is in business education. And I have taught in elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, colleges. I've taught adults. And over the last 20 years or so, my main audience has been senior citizens. Hmm. And I taught technology training. I was in charge of staff training. But I had this rapport with the seniors. So I was able to actually delve into the community more with the seniors. And I had several events set up monthly. Like I had a senior topic where, you know, we would talk about Medicare or, you know, not falling or whatever. But my proudest thing was I brought in a travel program. And in that travel program, I was lucky enough to talk about Route 66 a few times, taking a little different take on the route each time I did it. And of course, I did many programs on Europe. I've been to Austria, Switzerland, Spain, Italy, Germany, France. I've been to many countries over there. And I did U.S. things also, like Frankenmuth and Mackinac Island and different things like that. So that the travel, the education, and I also worked in corporate America. So you can even bring in all my experience from there. I work closely with marketing departments. When I was in corporate America, you're going to like this one, Jim. It's going to age me a bit. When I worked in corporate America, I was the face of the new internet service.
Well, you know, there are certain things that date us, and there are certain things when we look back on that bring us up short on realization of how old we really are. A few years ago, I covered the opening of a fascinating museum in El Segundo, the Automobile Driving Museum, where they literally take you for a drive in vintage cars. And I was asked for a magazine that I was writing for to cover the museum opening. And imagine my surprise when I discovered that one of their prize exhibits was a low-mileage AMC Pacer. And I had worked in the garage as a mechanic when those cars were new. If that doesn't make you feel a little dated,
You know what, though? We bring our experiences to the table.
Yes.
And you
know, go ahead. Yes. No, go ahead, Angie.
And, you know, and you see that along the route and the people along the route. Everybody brings their own experiences to the table.
Yes. Brady has a question for you. He's asking if you're in Ohio and where your nearest Route 66 town is.
I am in Ohio. And if I drive the turnpike straight across, I can be in the outskirts of Chicago in about 6 hours.
Very good.
I don't mind that trip either.
He said, Brady says, your website looks like you would like to rehome on the route. He says, have you ever thought of relocating on to Route 66?
Actually, before the pandemic, we were looking at places in Missouri. When I started the Route 66 information station, it actually was another name. It was Route 66 Believers for about a year. And then I really thought about it because I was thinking about if I wanted to make it a brick and mortar, I want a name for it. And that's where the Route 66 information station came from. And I don't know if you noticed, but it's actually related to trains. If you look at the logo, I love trains. I had family members that were part of working on the trains way back when. And the colors, if you notice, are actually the B&O Railroad. I kind of stole the color scheme. I made that page to reflect what the brick and mortar might look like. Mm-hmm. So I'm still looking, but right now it's a tough situation right now, whether you're looking at buying land, building, or anything. So we have that on hold right now. So yes, we're looking to move, but it's on hold.
Brady says, what can we do to get you to rehome in Texas? And Nolan has a question about if you've ever traveled the Lincoln Highway through Ohio.
Okay, about Texas. I have thought about southern states, but living up here in Ohio, my body cannot handle the heat. So that's kind of why I haven't looked at those states, but doesn't mean that I have put them out of my mind. And sorry, Jim, what was the second question?
Nolan asked if you've ever explored the Lincoln Highway in Ohio.
Actually, I have driven the Lincoln from about 2/3 in Pennsylvania all the way to the western side of Ohio. And I'll tell you something. It's not that I don't like the Lincoln. I'll tell you that up front. You know, I like the Lincoln Highway too, but it's so radically different. It's not like Route 66. Every time when you get into every little small town on Route 66, there's something about Route 66. There's somebody to talk to. There's businesses that are geared towards the route. And on the Lincoln Highway, time never stood still like it did on Route 66.
Yeah.
It all these cities, they've just evolved over time. So it doesn't have the same antiquated locations and history that I think the Route 66 has maintained. I was honestly bored on that trip. I hate to say it that way, but I know there's history there, but it's when you've experienced the Route 66 trip, and then on the Lincoln, I'm looking for a bit of brick to tell me that I'm on the Lincoln Highway. It's different.
Well, you know, Route 66 is I've traveled US 6, US 12, and Michigan 50. All these highways have really some great small town Americana that we look for with Route 66. Some of them have not better surviving mom and pop businesses, but they don't have that infectious magic, that enthusiasm that just permeates Route 66. It's tangible on that road. You run into travelers, the people. There's just an infectious excitement about Route 66. And it's something that really has to be experienced. It's really difficult to describe.
I tell people, Route 66, even though it goes through eight different states, it's a community in itself. Mm-hmm. When you stop at, you know, someplace, let's say you stop at the museum in Pontiac and you buy an easy guide, they're going to tell you to stop in Chandler and see Jerry McClanahan and get your book signed. They all know each other up and down the route. Mm-hmm. So Route 66, even though it spans that eight states, it's a small community within itself. And you're right, Jim. You don't really understand that until you've actually driven the route.
Well, you know, Michael Wallace described it as a linear community. But, you know, I think that's pretty close, but I think we can refine it a bit more that it's America's longest small town. Mm-hmm. And then from that perspective, it's like when you go to L.A., you have Chinatown, you have different districts. Well, Route 66 has these quirky neighborhoods called Kingman or Pontiac or Shamrock, but it is a linear community, and it's an international community. That's another thing that really makes the Route 66 experience so unique.
It is, and it's even evident in the following on the Route 66 information station. I have the countries that follow me the most. Well, of course, the U.S. is the number one, but right behind that is Spain. And I didn't understand that until I have a friend that lives in Madrid, and he came over, and on two different trips, I took him through Route 66 on Illinois and in Oklahoma. And when he went back home, he told me that everybody was so jealous that he had driven Route 66. So until he said that, I didn't realize that people even over there knew what Route 66 was. And on my cities, just to throw this in, the number one city that follows the information station is Madrid. And then Barcelona.
I had trouble. I grew up on the road, Route 66, other roads. My folks teased me that I was literally potty trained along the highway. And I just, part two of that is my mom said I was born 90 and I never got any older. And I've always stuck to the back roads, the small cafes. So even when Route 66 was bypassed, I still drove Route 66. And it was a road, but it was a road that I was comfortable with. And it was a while before I started to really see this renaissance and what was taking place. Excuse me. And it still amazes me. When I went to the second European Route 66 Festival in Zlin, I was just astounded by the fascination and the passion that these people had for a road. It was mind-boggling.
You know, I know there's a fascination out there, especially in the Asian countries, with our 50s time period. I do wonder how much of that also translates to people then being fascinated with Route 66. Because obviously that was the heyday of Route 66.
How is your information station? It's really such a great, well, it's an information station. It's got so much interesting content, and it's a great portal for people who are trying to get their feet wet with Route 66, trying to figure this out, trying to plan a trip, trying to understand why people are so passionate about this road. It's a great place to start.
Try different things with it over time. I've done travel trips tips on it. I've done, you know, history, things that aren't there anymore. But I do find that people generally like to know what, if they took a trip on Route 66, what they could see. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm mainly gearing towards. The other thing is because, you know, there's slightly more men that follow it than women. They like cars too. So occasionally I'll throw in old and hot cars. But you know what? Cars and Route 66 intertwine anyway.
Well, you know, going back, you mentioned that the railroad connection and how you connect that with Route 66. You know, that's really kind of appropriate because, well, most of Route 66, for lack of a better word, the foundation for most of Route 66 was the railroad. Chicago, most of these communities along Route 66, especially in the West and Southwest, they started out with the railroad. That was their cornerstone. So that's kind of fitting.
Yeah, it makes sense. People ask me about it, why the railroad follows the towns. And it makes sense because back in the railroad days, when they were trying to move goods across the country, they were actually building the towns on the railroad so people could get from place to place. Mm-hmm. So then it would make sense if a road came in, well, you want it to go through the towns. So the road follows the railroad and goes through the little towns, which I think adds to the charm of everything on Route 66 also.
Well, another railroad connection would be the National Transportation Museum near St. Louis. Have you ever been there?
I have a couple of times. It's an amazing museum.
Oh, speaking of trains and cars, yeah, that's an amazing museum. Quite extraordinary.
And, of course, everybody goes there to also visit the remnants of the Coral Court Motel that are there.
Yeah. I had no idea. I'm smart enough as I get older that the more I learn, the more I realize how little I know. But I was really surprised to learn that there were literally more than 100 automobile manufacturing companies at one time in St. Louis. I was really shocked by that.
Yeah, you would think most of it was up in Detroit.
Yeah, but that's, you know, Route 66 is all about surprises, too. You're always finding things. Every time I travel this road, when people ask, how long does it take to see Route 66? My answer is, I don't know. I've only been doing it since 1959. Because I'm always finding new things out there.
You know, I'm always in Illinois. I know many people up and down Illinois, Route 66. But there are still things to this day I have not seen.
Yeah. Well, there's new things popping up. In a couple weeks, on the 25th, we'll be talking to Roy Pickerel, who's putting together the Pink Elephant in Livingston, Illinois. He's got some big plans for the place. But there's always something new happening on Route 66. And going full circle, you know, the Centennial is sparking just absolutely amazing projects and programs all along the highway. Walking tours, neon sign initiatives, historic district revitalization projects, events. It's quite exciting.
Hey, Jim, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
The general public out there that is looking to do Route 66, I constantly am getting asked, where can we go to find out all the Centennial information? Do you have a good answer for that?
You know, I don't, and I'm frustrated. This brings up something that I have had trouble with for a decade or more. You know, the old U.S. Highway 66 Association, established in early 27, was a powerful organization. It was a kind of a chamber of commerce for the Route 66 corridor. And they look at all the things they accomplished. The reason Route 66 is as popular today as it is because of the marketing campaigns that these people developed. They did that with Model A Fords, dirt roads, and hand crank telephones. But we can't seem to get an organization together that provides support for the entire road. And the Centennial is just one example. I know Oklahoma is really going gangbusters. A couple weeks ago, we talked to Kerry Barrick there from Oklahoma. Route 66 in Oklahoma, the community, they're doing great. Illinois is doing fantastic. And Missouri. But California, Arizona, New Mexico, just they're just starting to talk about the centennial, let alone put it together. So as far as a central clearing point, I don't know of one. I am working close with Marian Pavel of the Route 66 navigation app, and he has added an event section to that app. And I update it with events as soon as I get them. But I really don't know of any concrete dates for centennial events even yet, which surprises me because the European travelers and a lot of travelers, they plan on an 18 and 24 month schedule. So right. I'm not sure how that's going to play out, but so in answer to your question, that was a long-winded answer, but no, I've got no idea.
You know, that is one thing that I think that would be helpful to travelers to know too, because the whole association of each state, if you go to some place in Illinois, especially if it has close ties with the association, for instance, even the Hall of Fame Museum in Pontiac, they really only know about Illinois. Mm-hmm. And that is true for every state. But at the same time, I don't see that communication either through a lot of the towns along the way, communicating to the state organization what events they have planned.
Well, yeah. And you know, another thing that surprised me, I speak a lot on tourism and economic development issues, not just on in Route 66 communities, but in other places. But it amazes me. I speak in some of these small Route 66 communities. They really have no clue, no understanding about Route 66, the tourism, the potential. And it just amazes me. You have these people from all over the world passing through your town in the thousands, and the light bulb hasn't gone on yet.
Yep.
You mentioned the centennial. I know Pat Tuttle in Joplin is making some big plans for the centennial. I know that the organizers of the Birthplace of Route 66 Festival are making some pretty big plans. And Scott Dahl, I had a great conversation or two with him in Springfield, Illinois. They're going to be hosting the Miles of Possibility Conference in 26, and they're making plans to build a big centennial event around that. But
that would be nice.
Nolan Stoltz said, try Route 66-centennial.com. I'm not familiar with the website, but I will check into that, Nolan. Thank you.
Nolan, could you tell us who runs that if you know?
He says it's supposed to be an official website, but okay. He says it's the official government website. But there again, we have this centennial website, and here you're with your information station, you keep your fingers on the pulse of Route 66. And I try to stay on top of things. And thank you, Nolan. But here we are, and we didn't know about this. No. So there's that lack of communication we were discussing.
Yeah. One thing with the centennial that I'd also like to bring up in case some powers of be are listening. I was looking at the Road Ahead and their quarterly report.
Yes.
And I found it interesting. They said, you know, the Road Fest in Tulsa has been a big thing the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And they have deemed it a success. Now, I personally would like to know what the success is, how many people walked in the door, or how many people actually went out on the road after going. But anyway, they're talking about seeing if they can work with AAA to get it in all the Route 66 states. Well, you know, why not all the states having representation of Route 66 with AAA? Because if Sissy Sis goes through your state, more than likely, you know what Route 66 is. But like, I was in Ohio and I told you I didn't know about it until I was an adult.
It's I've had conversations with Wade Bray. He's the principal organizer of the AAA Route 66 Road Fest. Mm-hmm. And the success, as far as attendance, it's been moderate. It's only, I think, 2 years now, but it's showing steady growth. Part of the problem is AAA is largely regional, so it's difficult. I've had him in Kingman. He put together, his company put together an incredible virtual reality interactive exhibit with Angel Delgadillo at the Kingman Powerhouse. It's pretty extraordinary.
Good. Yeah, I've heard about that.
But we had conversations about taking this AAA Route 66 Road Fest on the road as a traveling road show, kind of like the old GM Motorama. It's simmering on the back burner. And here we are, you know, 2 years out. The Road Ahead Partnership, I think they're doing a lot of good. I'm on the Economic Development Committee for that organization.
Okay.
But somehow we're still missing the boat. We're not accomplishing with leadership or unification what the U.S. Highway 66 Association did. I was just reading recently, 1932, the U.S. Highway 66 Association had a convention in Elk City, Oklahoma, and there were something like 20,000 people that attended that thing.
Wow.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of room for improvement here. But your information station is a key component in creating this network. It really is.
I think that we all, and when I'm saying we all, people like you, people like me, the roadies that are constantly on the route, I think we all need to help spread the word better for the centennial.
Yeah.
Get the word out there to areas. I mean, here in Northeast Ohio, I do presentations on Route 66. Last fall, I did one at a assisted living facility. But I think we all have, since we are passionate about Route 66, with that passion comes the responsibility to get the word out.
Yes. One of the events that I really try to plug and promote as far as building this national organization, the annual Miles of Possibility Conference. I think we really need to get the word out about that event and encourage people to participate, to attend, and to be active with it. Because that event is as close as we've got to the old U.S. Highway 66 Association conventions. And it's the business of Route 66. You know, we always have fun when we get together, but it's about that's the business of Route 66, where we can network and create these partnerships. So this year, that'll be in Edwardsville, Illinois, October 31st. So I'm hoping we can get a real solid attendance from that. Last year, we did fairly well. We had people from Greg Hassman from New Mexico and, of course, Reese Martin from Oklahoma. So, I think I'd like to really encourage people to add that to their calendar.
Unfortunately, I was on the roster last year to be part of a panel to talk about safety traveling as women on Route 66, and I didn't make it because of a family emergency.
Yes, it was good. It's always good. It's a well, you know, it's well, just one example of how the networking comes together on this. They had a gentleman there from the McLean Historic Society, and the short version, long story, the Henny Kilowatt was a bizarre electric car that was, I think it was designed to make sure it didn't sell. And they're pretty rare. They were manufactured in Bloomington. He did a great presentation on that. It just so happens the Historic Electric Vehicle Foundation is working on developing an educational center and electric vehicle museum here in Kingman. And they happen to have a Henny Kilowatt, one of only about 40 that exist. After attending the Miles of Possibility, I was able to facilitate a meeting between this gentleman and the Historic Vehicle Association, and he's currently offered the entire archives, copies of everything, for the EV Museum in Kingman, Arizona. Okay. That's just one example of the power of something like the Miles of Possibility Conference.
Jim, speaking of the Powerhouse Museum in Kingman, I want to tell travelers, too, that, you know, if you start in Chicago, by the time you get down to Arizona, you've seen a lot of Route 66 museums.
Mm-hmm.
Don't skip them. I skipped the Powerhouse because I was so tired of Route 66 museums. And when I went back a few years later to that museum, it's now on one of my top museums along Route 66.
You know, one of the things we can learn from this, we need museums that provide an experience. This new exhibit with Angel Delgadillo is extraordinary, and I think it'll fill that gap. The museum in Clinton, Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Route 66 Museum, they do pretty well with that. Yeah, I agree. All the museums have something unique to offer. The Powerhouse Visitor Center in Kingman is well done. And other things now with technology that's putting things out there. One of the things I worked on with Kingman Main Street was a narrated self-guided historic district walking tour using QR codes and kiosks. And that's a template of a project that could be plagiarized for other communities. And I know other communities are working on similar projects. But I'm glad this on your last trip you included the Powerhouse, because that's a good one. The next time you're out here, we'll have to get you to the Mojave Museum of History and Arts across the street. And one that's really overlooked here is the Benelli House in Kingman.
I haven't even heard of that one.
Ah, this is, it's kind of like Docks, just off 66 in Girard, Illinois. Mm-hmm. The Benelli House is a monument to hoarders and how we should be grateful for hoarders. Short version, it's a beautiful 1915 home, unique architecture, and the family never threw anything away. Most of the original furnishings from 1915 to 1920 are still in place.
Wow.
A lot of fun. Do you have a particular place that really gets you excited about Route 66? A community that really just sets the mood, if you will, gets the blood stirring?
You know, I'm going to say Pontiac, Illinois, just because I am in Illinois very often, and that seems to be the place I always stop. Whether it's to see a couple of murals that I've never seen before, visit with the ladies. I have developed friendships with the ladies in the museum. And there is just so much history about Route 66 right there in Pontiac. Oh. And it's a lovely community. The people are friendly. I actually spent a whole week. I got a hotel room in Pontiac, and I spent a whole week there.
Yeah, Pontiac to me is, and I've talked to Bob Russell there and others. I know about the recalls, the problems. Scott McCoy kind of planted the seed. Other people started, bring it to fruition. But I know the troubles they've had in Pontiac. But they are, to me, the poster child. And I use this phrase a lot, but they have managed to sell everything on the hog, including the squeal. They are really dynamic. They're not myopic, just focused on Route 66. They use Route 66 as the gateway to showcase what makes their community special and unique. Yeah, I like Pontiac a lot.
One thing I really like, I think Pontiac, Gardner does this well too. They lead you to what they want you to see. So in Pontiac, they lead you directly to the Route 66 Hall of Fame and Museum. Mm-hmm. In Gardner, they lead you right directly to the two-cell jail. And I think that's brilliant marketing.
Yes, yes. You've got to showcase and highlight what you have that makes your town different and unique. Route 66 is the connector, but every town has something unique. And highlight that, showcase that. The two-cell jail, Harley Russell out in Eric, Oklahoma. Oh, my. Shamrock has a piece of the Blarney Stone. It's out there. A thought just popped into my head, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Okay. You know, another way to approach this, creating a unified, if you will, Route 66 community, is putting together a network of people such as yourself with the Route 66 Information Center. Chris with Arizona Podcast, he's now not only doing the podcast, but he started video blogs with, he just finished a program, Desert Diamond Distillery off Route 66 here in Kingman. And link these programs and information websites with a central portal that gives people a multifaceted portal to the Route 66 planning and history. Any thoughts on that?
I think it's a great idea, but it would be a huge undertaking for somebody also.
That's always a problem. It would be kind of a Don Quixote thing, jousting at windmills, but it sure be a help. Cheryl Jett's with us, and she says, Angie, we missed you at the Miles of Possibility.
I missed you guys too. And I maybe the subject will come around again. I know that on historic Route 66, I still answer ladies that want to travel Route 66 alone and asking for safety tips. So maybe that subject will come around again soon. And I wouldn't mind delving into other subjects and helping out the Miles of Possibility either.
Well, you know, now that's an interesting too. It's not just women, but I notice a lot of our international travelers are, pardon the pun, but they're gun shy about traveling Route 66.
They get the media. That's the problem. Because I hear it from my friends overseas too. They get the media. And one of the things about people overseas, when they think of the U.S., and I've heard this from them, it's not me speaking, they think that the United States is New York City.
Yes, yes.
So when they start hearing about the things going on in New York, Chicago, or wherever else, you know, there's LA, lots of cities, they start thinking that the whole U.S. is like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes we have to calm their fears because, as you and I well know, most of Route 66 is very, very safe.
Yeah.
And I personally travel alone a lot. I have only had one instance that shook me a little bit, but I just used my intuition and I walked away.
Common sense. It doesn't matter if you're in Frankfurt, Germany, or St. Louis. A little common sense goes a long way. The safety issue is a problem. People have perceptions. Dries Bessels has done some great presentations about the way Americans perceive Europe and the way Europeans perceive. And he does it. He shows up wearing wooden shoes. And he's got a great one. It shows American breakfast. And there's a pistol on the table with big slabs of bacon. And, you know, it just, yeah. It's this is something else I've had conversations a lot with. We've created this perception of Route 66 that it's small town Americana. Mm-hmm. And that with the perception, real issues magnified by the media and social media, The big city gets short shift. People have a tendency, Route 66 enthusiasts, just skip Chicago, St. Louis, Oklahoma City, Los Angeles, because of we presented that Route 66 is small town America, and we've really kind of short shifted the bigger cities. Tulsa is making big strides to change that, but I was just in L.A. A couple weeks ago on business, book signing, a road trip day situation there, and California really, the L.A. area gets overlooked a lot by Route 66 enthusiasts.
I often thought, because there's a lot of stuff in California I haven't seen. At that point, I'm clear across the country.
Sure.
And I only spend, a short amount of time because I got to turn around and get home. So I have not seen a lot in California. And I've often thought, I wish there was tour companies that would take on even like a private tour of Route 66, pick us up in a van and take us down Route 66 around LA and that. I think this might be something, that someone out there, the associations, talk to local tour companies and see if they'll try it out for the centennial.
I had a meeting in California with Scott Piotrowski, the president of the California Route 66 Association, and Toshi Goto of the Japanese. Mm-hmm. Scott Piotrowski is passionate about the Los Angeles area, almost anal. But that's good. That's a good thing. And for a while, he was doing walking tours and other tours, and he has started offering people an interesting way to explore the Route 66 corridor in the Los Angeles metro area using the light rail system.
Huh.
And that's you can go all the way from San Bernardino out to Santa Monica, basically along the Route 66 corridor.
But how do people know about this, though?
Exactly.
There's the communication thing again.
That's exactly it. And I find this all over, myself included. I stop in a town and I find that somebody's doing walking tours, or somebody is offering programs at the community college. We've got this breakdown in communication that is definitely an issue. And I'm not sure quite how to do that.
Well, I think we could also take a page out of the book of European tours.
Yes.
Because it's easy to find tours in Europe, like walking tours.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe those types of sites need to be looked at, because I know they're based off of websites that you can go in and sign up on. Maybe that type of thing could be taken, somebody look how it's done in Europe and translate it to some of those areas that people, like you said, skip because it's big city.
Brady says that he is currently working with a tour organizer that's creating for bus tours. Oh. He's working with a company to help organize and correlate information for bus operators, and currently having meetings in Tucumcari. Oh, very good, Brady. Thank you. Yes, there's a lot of this grassroots initiatives out there, and a lot of passionate people that's what's keeping this thing going.
Yeah. So I guess my little advice to people out there planning their trips on Route 66 and that, because you're hearing that people are doing things, we just don't know about it. you need to look at not only the information on each individual state on Route 66, but maybe those small towns that you're very interested in. Maybe go look further into those small towns and actually look at their chamber of commerce sites and that, and see what's going on in each individual small town. That will also help you when planning your trip, because people talk about I've been wanting to talk about this, Jim, so I'm going to go right into it. People talk about winging it. And I'm a planner. I plan everything. And that's my personality. I have comfort in knowing where I'm going to lay my head each night. Now, that does not mean that I'm not spontaneous on going, oh, that's a cute place. Let's stop there. Or I've been known to backtrack too, because I had to get to the next hotel to sleep. But then the next morning I backtrack a little bit because I know I missed something. But with that, you don't know what's going on in these towns. Mm-hmm. And in one of my spots that I decided to wing it, unfortunately, Jim, was Kingman, Arizona. I decided to wing it once. And guess what? Something was going on in town. It was some huge event. I don't know what it was. There was not a hotel room to be found.
Yes.
And I went to the Best Western, and that lady was so sweet. She called around the town to see if she could find me a hotel room, and she couldn't find me anything. I was flying out of Vegas back home the next day, so I just went up to the Vegas area and spent the night. But these things do happen. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about winging it, you know, I want to tell everybody, do what you're comfortable with.
Sure.
Some people are okay with being spontaneous, and some people that will set in anxiety.
Right.
Because at 3 o'clock, you don't know where you're staying that night.
Some people are more adventuresome than others. People need a little bit of a structure.
Yes.
Or, you know, some people, and I'll be the first to say it, are a little picky too.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So, you know, the way you plan your trip, you need to plan your trip for you. And that's probably what I am the biggest advocate about on the information station. Your trip is your trip. No two 66 trips look alike, because you're going to stop and see what you're interested in. You're going to have your own conversations with people. People message me, and by the way, anybody can message me and get free information. But when you message me and say, what are the key stops I should stop at? Well, I don't know what you like. Right. I love cars, and not all females like to look at cars all the time. I will stop at every auto museum on Route 66. And if you don't like car museums and I give you a bunch of car museums to stop at, that's not going to be a fun trip for you.
No.
You're
exactly right. When we do this, we have to approach people from where they're at. And like you said, exactly. If they're not car enthusiasts, why send them to a car show?
Right. So that's probably the biggest thing that I really advocate for, is that this is your trip. I can't tell you what your interests are. And, you know, make it your trip of a lifetime. I know people want to do little side trips too. And occasionally I'll see the people, well, you won't have enough time on Route 66 if you stop there. But if that's their passion, they want to see the Grand Canyon, and that's going to take a couple days off the route for them. You know what? It's your trip. Go to the Grand Canyon.
Yes. Angie, I want to thank you very much for taking time from your Sunday to do this today. You've raised a lot of questions, and you piqued my imagination and got me to thinking about a couple things here this morning. I will be doing something I have to make a confession I've been negligent about. I'm revamping the Jim Hinckley's America website, and I want to have a section on recommended websites and blogs. And I'll make sure that the information station is listed with a link to your website.
Okay.
And I will be doing a blog post in the next few days about this program. And I'll include as much information on the information station, as well as things that we've discussed this morning, and see if we can keep this conversation going. And once you start shaking a tree, well, let's just see what comes out.
And let me know if I can be any help.
You bet. You know, speaking of places to stay, I've got a couple great friends, sponsors of the programs, if you will. But, you know, they have encountered some interesting problems. And two examples would be the wonderful Roadrunner Lodge in Tucumcari, New Mexico, and the iconic Wagon Wheel Motel in Cuba, Missouri. And sometimes people read these reviews of these motels, and they get these wonderful reviews. But just like with the car museums, they're wanting the Hampton Inn, the Holiday Inn Express, or the Marriott. So they're disappointed when they check into these motels because they're not any of those places. And it's an apples and oranges comparison.
It's a mindset. And I actually, this is one of the things I do tell people. When you stay at one of these Route 66 motels, you got to remember back in the day when these were built, they were a quick stop just to sleep, clean up, and get on the road again. They weren't made like the Hamptons and the Hiltons of today, where it's luxurious that you can spend time in the hotel. These motels weren't made for you to sit in there and spend time.
You got out into the communities. I'll tell you, you know, I don't know if you're familiar like with the Roadrunner Lodge in Tucumcari, but that is a perfect, it's a near perfect example how you can provide that time capsule experience, but also the modern amenities that the current, the traveler today expects. And that's one. David Brenner's just done a fantastic job with that. That's one that people need to add to their list if they want to blur the line between past, present. It's a pretty good place.
Well, Roadrunner's on my list because I've stayed everywhere else in town except for the Roadrunner so far. So it's on my list.
Ah, you won't be disappointed. Something else, I get a lot of questions about the Wagon Wheel in Cuba. Connie does have it up for sale. I just talked to her the other day, but she's not in a hurry. She's going to be there this season, and she has spent the winter doing all kinds of improvements and upgrades. So the old iconic Wagon Wheel Motel, it's good for another season.
Good.
Angie, thank you so much, not just for this and for the conversation and sparking some interest here, but taking time out of your schedule. And thank you. The Route 66 Information Station is really appreciated. I like your efforts.
Thank you very much.
Guys, I want to thank everybody for joining us. We're going to have some fun next week. We're going to be talking to Ned Luchner about Cool Springs. And even if you've never traveled Route 66, you're probably familiar with Cool Springs if you're a Route 66 enthusiast. It's an absolutely beautiful location. The backdrop is astounding. Stevie Wonder would have problems taking a bad photograph at Cool Springs. But the place has quite a history. It actually predates Route 66. And I think you're going to be surprised about its history, its connection to places like Mr. D's Route 66 Diner in Kingman. And Ned's done a great job of giving this place a new lease on life, because Cool Springs burned to the ground in the 1960s. For many, many years, it was the literal landfill for people who lived along out there in Golden Valley. They used that as the dump. And then it was rebuilt for the movie Universal Soldier, and they blew it up. And so he's done an incredible job. So we're going to have fun with Ned next week. Until then, my friends, I want to thank everybody who joined us today. Brady, keep up the good work. And gosh, this has been good. This has been real good. And I'm very appreciative. Thank you guys very much. And if you have any questions about anything we discussed today, contact me or contact Angie through the Route 66 Information Station and travel planning advice. I have a question here. The two best things I can recommend, aside from asking people like Angie questions, Jerry McClanahan's Easy 66 Guide and the Route 66 Navigation app. If you put those two together, you're going to have a pretty good trip. But most importantly, take time to talk with the people That's what makes Route 66 special. And just simply accept the fact you're not going to see everything in one trip or two or three or four. So, Angie, again, thank you. And, well, we'll do this again next week, my friends. Oh, one more thing, Angie. Before I forget, you've mentioned Europe quite a bit.
Yes.
And we've gone. Have you given any thought or did you know about the upcoming European Route 66 Festival?
I know about it and it did spark my interest, but I don't know if I'm going yet.
Oh, I don't either. I just checked airfare this morning. A little spendy. No. I'll have some information on that as well. We've kind of run a little bit late today. I hope nobody minds, but we'll do this again next week. Angie, please take care, and I'm glad you're up and about.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.